We're going to read scripture this morning, and our passage is Galatians 5, verses 16 through 26. Follow along. This is from the New Living Translation, and the title of this particular passage is called Living by the Spirit's Power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have done before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another.
This quote, by the way, we're going to really fast. Is that okay? Okay, whatever you have to do to put this in high gear, let's try and do it together. I know our time is tight. This quote I love: never give a sword to a man who can't dance. You believe that? Confucius said that. At least it's attributed to him. I don't know whether it's true or not, but this I do know. If it is true, I am never going to hold a sword, because I can't dance. I just can't. My danceless state is not rooted in conviction. I want to dance. But my danceless state is because I am completely incompetent to it. I am. I could prove it to you, but I would probably empty the building. And what's frustrating is, oh, I really want to. I can close my eyes and sense the rhythm. I can even imagine the fluid motions of grace. But when I open my eyes, it looks like a multi-car pileup. No coordination, just chaos and pain, and a crowd looking at me in horror. It would be a wreck. I don't dance, but I want to. To flow with physical freedom at the impulse of music. To express my soul through my body. To get the most YouTube views at my granddaughter's wedding. That would be great. And by the way, I have prayed about this. I've asked God if I can tap dance when I get to heaven. He said there'd be auditions first. So my chances do not look good at all. So why talk about this? Dance may not be the theme of many sermons that you've heard, but there's a good reason to speak about it. Dancing is the best metaphor I know to express another principle of soul growth. If you're visiting today, you've caught us in the middle of something. We're talking about how does God shape a soul? We've talked about soul growth, spiritual formation, discipleship, as a harmony of theology and mission and virtue. That is, I grow through what I know, what I do, and what I am. I've suggested to you previously that many churches excel at focusing on what I know and what I do. Here's the truth, here's the manual to serve in church, and we let them go. We have not had as much conversation or focus on what does it mean to have virtue, to grow in character. The assumption seems to be that if we just teach people enough of God's word and just give them enough to do, then growth is going to be the automatic consequence. I think that's a faulty assumption. Churches are filled with people who know the truth and have served for many years and yet feel stunted, not growing personally. So we're talking about how does God shape us? It is the shaping of God. He does this for us. But he does it in patterns. That is, if you read the scripture enough and examine our own lives, we can see that there are themes in the way that God grows a soul. I suggested to you that we grow through a relationship of love. It is grace that changes us. It's great. Not fear, or even just power. It's grace that changes us. And we're flooded with God's grace. I suggested to you that we grow through a practice of self-denial, discipleship, discipline, even death. I've suggested that we grow through a spirit of spirit. I can do this. I'm back from holidays. My mouth is still someplace else. We grow through a spirit of humility. And we grow through the exercise we talked about of faith in difficult times. All those things were what we said. Now you're caught up. So let's go further. Another principle of growth is we grow when we learn how to dance with the Spirit of God. This is a truth of our lives. We grow when we learn how to follow the Spirit and let the Spirit lead. This portion of Scripture that was read for us, Galatians 5, we are going to spend a couple of weeks at it. We're going to talk about some issues now. Next week, we're going to talk about fruit and fullness. You find that both in Galatians 5. And eventually, we're going to land in Galatians 6, where we find that we grow together in community. We grow as a spiritual house, connected together for God. But before we deal with those things, let's talk about what it means to dance with the Spirit. In Galatians 5, there are some principles that Paul lays down. He talks about chapter 5, verse 1, that for freedom Christ has set you free, so stand firm, therefore. And do not submit yourself against a yoke of slavery. In other words, God wants all of us to be free, so we get to do whatever we want. That doesn't follow. No, we're shaped and made to be free souls in the hands of God, but we are free not to follow our own will and wishes, but rather we follow the will of God. Sometimes in church, this has never happened in your church, but sometimes in church we hear this idea of freedom and it scares us. We're afraid that people are going to take the idea of freedom and abuse it. So what do? You create lots of rules. And here are the rules about what it means. Now, I was raised in an environment where I was told, look, don't go to movies, don't drink, don't dance, don't play cards, don't swear, or don't go with girls who do. Right? And if I do all those things, plus some others, then I will be righteous. That's how you grow, by keeping the rules. Paul says, no, God has given us a spirit of freedom. He also says, through faith, chapter 5, verse 5, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. In other words, it's not the rules that make you good. What makes you good? The Spirit of God makes us good. He is our hope for righteousness. Anything that I'm going to be in Jesus is because the Spirit of God is active in me, shaping this, growing this. This hope of righteousness comes because the Spirit is alive in you. And He will shape you righteously in time and righteously for all eternity. That's our hope. What does that righteousness look like? Well, chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love." Righteousness is not revealed in our rules, as profitable as some of them might be. Righteousness is revealed when we, being rooted in faith, learn how to love one another. Rooted in faith and love being expressed wherever we are. That's a pattern of righteousness. And all of this, Paul talks about as being the work of the Spirit of God. Therefore, now we get to the point about dancing. How is the Spirit of God going to lead us in our freedom? How will the Spirit of God produce righteousness in us? How can the Spirit of God, by the faith that we have, express loving relationships among us? How does the Spirit do it? He does it by dancing. Galatians 5, 15 to 16. It's already been read, but let me emphasize. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh." There's this tug of war happening. These are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." I emphasize those two phrases, and you got it. Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God has the, He is the power for our progress. He is the pace of our progress. You ever played Simon Says? You do it with the Spirit of God. "Spirit, may I?" Yes, you may. "Spirit, may I?" No, you can't. You ever played Follow the Leader? Learn it with the Spirit. However He leads, we follow Him. Keep in step with the Spirit. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not provoke one another, becoming conceited, envying one another. If we live by the Spirit, that is, if God, by His great grace in Jesus Christ, has placed His Spirit within us, which He has for everyone who names the name of Jesus, the Spirit comes to them and makes His home in them. So if we live by the Spirit, Paul says what? Keep in step with Him. Walk at His pace. Follow His direction. If the Spirit of God says go, what do you do? Move. If He says stop, freeze. If the Spirit of God says go left, go left. If He says go right, go right. If the Spirit of God tells you to stop, wait, or get on with it, hurry up, whatever the Spirit of God says to you, what? Move it. Keep in pace with it. In other words, whatever the Spirit wants for us, there is to be a coordinated motion with me and the Spirit. However He leads, I follow. There's this a similarity, a copying, a following. That's why I say dance is the best metaphor. I can't dance, but this I do know. If two people are going to dance together, they've got to be in unison, right? One of them leads, and one follows. And they follow the pace, the pattern. It's a picture of beauty and freedom and delight and grace. The Spirit of God is leading us. Paul says, follow Him. Learn how to dance at the impulses of His leading, the voice, the strength, follow Him. And of course, it's hard to dance. You might find it easy. I find it hard. It would have to be something that's learned. To tell you the truth, I've come across many Christians who find this concept of how do I follow the Spirit and how do I keep in step with the Spirit of God. They find that hard. If it is a dance, which I think it is, it points to certain principles. I'm going to go through four things very quickly and then we're done. Can you hang in there for four things? Oh, look, you five. Okay. If this is a dance with the Spirit, the first thing it points to is this is a relationship. We don't follow maps very much anymore. We used to. We used to study the map, but now we have, what do we got? Well, we got smartphones and GPS and so on. And we trust our GPS to get us where we're supposed to go. Turn left, turn right, go straight, so on. It gives us all the right information. Sometimes it's recalculating. Sometimes it tells you to get back to the route, get back to the route. And it's marvelous, isn't it? But it's not a relationship. This is a mechanical device just kind of telling you what to do. Sometimes people get the idea that living a Christian life is a little bit like that. We've got the manual, the Word of God. We have the Scriptures. So how do I live the life? Just read the Bible. Just do what the Bible says. And by the way, I say, amen. Right. The Scriptures are God's Word. It is a revelation of truth. It is sufficient for training in righteousness. Follow the Scriptures. Have there ever been times when you feel there's a gap in the Scriptures that you're asking questions that the Scriptures, you can't find the answers there? You ever found sometimes you wish that there was someone to show you the way, to sit with you in the car and say, look, I know what the map says, and the map is right, but you don't know how to get to the rightness of this map, so I'm going to show you, just follow my leading. You ever wish for that? Now you have a relationship. Now you have someone to listen to, someone that loves you, who will guide. If our relationship with the Spirit can be described as a dance, it points to a relationship that God is inviting us to. Following the Scriptures is not mechanical. Let me different phrase. Following God in a spiritual journey is not a mechanical issue. It's a living, knowing, following, relational issue. And while we stress the centrality of the Word for our walk, of course, God invites us to the relationship with the one who wrote the Word, the Spirit. So to know Him and follow Him. By the way, the leading of the Spirit of God will never violate the truth of what He's already revealed. It's just impossible. This is an invitation that God gives to us. Have a relationship with the Father through the agency of the Son by the power of the Spirit. And if dancing suggests there ought to be a relationship happening, this follows. The closer I am in the relationship to the Spirit of God, the more I will understand His leading, His prompting, His voice. If it is a dance, it's a slow dance in close proximity. You can't dance with the Spirit from the other side of the room. And we try it all the time. We don't give God much attention, and then we want an answer real quick. It's a dance. A relationship. It also speaks of a partnership. Invites a partnership. Like a dance, there is leading and following. Both people are participating. And in this relationship that we have with God, God is active. He's not passive. He doesn't just fold His arms and say, well, you go ahead and dance. Show me your best move. God is active in this. He's with us. He's engaged. He's involved with our body and our minds and our hearts and our emotions, our work, our relationships. He's involved with everything about us. He's not simply watching us, waiting for us to follow the instructions. And likewise, I am active in this. I can't be passive. Well, God, do your best. I'll watch you. It doesn't work that way. It's a dance where we both participate. In a relationship empowered and led by God, I have an invitation by the Spirit to participate. And I participate by saying, yes, I'm yours. Lead me. Tell me what to do. Give me the steps that you want me to follow, and I will follow them. I'll say yes and actually follow up with active obedience. I am not the agent of change in my spiritual life. That power is God's. But I can invite His change by saying, I'm yours to lead. If it's a dance with the Spirit, it's not a dance that we just watch, a solo movement by us. But it's a partnership, granted of very unequal proportions. God does a whole lot more than I do. But that doesn't mean I'm still. Third, if it's a dance, not only does it suggest that God is inviting us to a relationship in which we both participate in this wonderful journey we have on earth, but likewise, it requires a focused heart. How do I hear of God? How do I know this is Him leading me, that He wants me to do this, that, or something else? Please don't raise your hand because I don't want you to be embarrassed. Let me be the only one embarrassed. Anyone find that confusing? Yeah? I remember a man in our church, I was pastoring, and he was really struggling with this. Like, how do I know this is the leading of God? I want to keep in step with the Spirit. I want to follow Him. But how do I know that He is leading me to go left or right? How can I keep pace with Him? I want to, but I'm unsure. Is this His leading, or often we think, what? It's just my own impulses? Is this what I want that I'm putting the Spirit stamp of approval upon? What if I'm hearing my own voice? And by the way, should I hear a voice? Should I hear some sounds if the Spirit of God is leading? Look, I am not at all suggesting to you that recognizing the shepherd who knows your name and who is calling you, that recognizing His voice is a simple matter. I am saying that it's a necessary matter, and it's a possible matter, and it's God's invitation to us. Many of the times we have questions about it. Let me give you four things that have helped me. If they help you, great. To a believer who is standing on the Scriptures, surrendered to God's will, and looking to be led, three essential criteria. Somebody who is standing in the Scriptures, already being obedient to God's revealed word, this is what the truth is. Someone who has surrendered to His will, I want to follow your leading. Somebody who's hungry and looking to be led. If those three things are true, I suggest a very simple principle. That is, stop, look, and listen. You do it at railroad tracks, right? Just stop, look, and listen. What I mean is, first stop. Give yourself to an activity, silence, and stillness. Very rarely have I found that God will lead a hectic life. Why? Because it's already jammed with so much stuff. No room to listen. So just stop and make that a pattern, a repeated exercise of your life. When we talk about devotions, you know what we're actually saying? Every time you have devotions, take some time in your day to stop. Turn off the TV. Put your obligations aside and just stop and be with God. Listen to Him. Let it be a disciplined practice in our life. So if I want to hear from God, then I need to stop and just give Him my attention. Second is to look and look around. What has God, where is He active in your life right now? What is He doing that you can say, yeah, look, there's the hand of God. So look around you, but also look within you in the state of your own soul. If you are fearful, anxious, agitated, scattered, that is not the work of the Spirit of God. That's very normal. That's very human. That's me. This state of soul, that's my doing. but that there is peace and hope and love and joy. You know what that is? We'll get to it next week. It's the fruit of the Spirit. God is he's at work. So look around, but look within. The leading of the Spirit of God is not towards confusion. He will always lead in ways that reflect his fruit. Again, next week. Stop, look, and the third thing you're supposed to do on a railroad track? Listen. Oh, listen. Meditate upon the Word of God. Learn to spend time with trusted, godly people who have learned how to hear the Spirit and are going to help you, coach you, mentor you through this. Listen to your own soul's pulse. Give attention to what God is saying to you. God will not force you to listen. Not unless it's an extreme case, and he may pin you to the wall sometimes. He will not impose upon you. He's waiting for you to stop and look in his way. And as you do that, let me suggest these four things. Here they come. Since this dance is a relationship that is different from every other earthly relationship we have, this is something that's going to have to be learned. It just is. Because God's ways are not our ways. His voice is not very common in our world, so we have to learn how to listen to him. And he's a good teacher. Don't expect to get this right the very first time. Don't expect to be mistake-free through it. Oh, I thought God led me there, but I was wrong. It's okay. This is something we learn, not automatic, but his schooling is trustworthy and effective. And we have to learn it by him because there's no other place on earth that you find this. This is unique. God does this. So it's something that has to be learned. Likewise, since the Spirit is not as loud as we might want him to be, that means we have to lean into him. Get as close to him as possible, because often he whispers. You know why he whispers? Come here. Come here. Get close to me. Spend time with me. There's a clarity in his voice, but it's not always loud. We want him to be loud, don't we? Oh, we think that if God were loud, I'd listen to him. Go to the foot of Mount Sinai in the Old Testament and tell me, do people always respond well to a loud God? The Spirit is not always loud, so we have to get as close to him as possible. And by the way, he is not far from you. Where is he? He's already made himself home in you in the name of Jesus Christ. If this is a dance, and since the Spirit is not out to be a GPS for us, he's not out simply to dispense information to us, we need to make sure that we always look for his love, not just answers. And this is my fault. Maybe it's not yours, but this is my fault. Coasting along in life, and then an issue comes up that you want wisdom from God, and so what do? Lord, I'm in a hurry, please. I need an answer like now. And maybe he doesn't give an answer because he welcomes us continually asking, hey, you gave me, that's nice. Hey, I'm going to be quiet for a while longer and just we'll have this time together. God is not just a dispenser of knowledge and wisdom and truth. Well, he is that. He is grace and love. So in your times that you're trying to look for the answer of God to give you wisdom about going this direction or that, don't ever forget that the first thing he wants to say to you is what? Oh, I love you. So glad that you're here with me. So, get as close as you can. And the fourth thing I'd like to suggest to you is since the Spirit is leading us, each one individually, uniquely, don't expect your dance to look exactly like someone else's. Just not going to be that way. You know what happens if we at church and somebody says, the Spirit of God told me, and we think, oh, I guess that's exactly what I need to be. We start patterning ourselves after one another where God says, I created you to be you. I don't want you to go out to dance the flamenco. You're kind of a cha-cha type of person. So I'll meet you in that way. We are all unique individuals that God loves as we are. He will communicate with us and come to us and give to us his presence in ways that fit who we are. So don't try to dance somebody else's dance. Because God will come to you as you are, where you are, and when you are at the time. Much more could be said about that, but let me just say, end with this. We are told, commanded to be in step with the Spirit of God. You see the picture? That's what I want. I want to stand on his feet. And when he moves, I move with him. I want to be a student of his, so that in growing in Christ, I begin to learn these are the steps of God. What we find is that as God guides our feet and leads us in our days, he is likewise growing our soul. So we want to refuse the idea that you can live a spiritual life without the Spirit. You can't. Not possible. I want us to abandon the type of forms that we cling to, in place of the work of the Spirit of God. And by the way, that's very easily done, where we begin to trust our traditions and our ways without actually hearing from the Spirit. I want us to reach further than our own grasp and trust God to lead us in things that only God can do. Because only he can do them. God invites us to dance. Oh, to move with grace. To twirl with the light. To experience the rhythm of heaven. To sense his nearness, his leadership, and his support. We get to begin this wedding groom dance now. Now. And there will come a day when God will take us to heaven. The groom will say, now we get to dance together for all eternity. So, a soul grows in relationship with the Spirit of God. The soul grows as it learns to dance with the Spirit. I don't always experience it. I don't always do it well. But I want to. And you want to. And God will lead us by his grace. Next week, we'll talk about Galatians 5, about where that leading takes with all the apples and pears and cherries and plums of the Spirit. We'll talk about fruit. We'll talk about fullness. We're going to close without a song, but I ask you to do this. Just take a moment of silent prayer. And if it be your wish, pray to God, Lord, I want you to teach me how to follow. Lord, I want to teach me how to hear you. Lord, I want to walk in step with you. Help me even today. Take that time and just have that prayer with God. Do it now. Teach us. Forgive us the times when we take the initiative away from you and make up the steps as we go. Forgive us our lack of expectation, the smallness of our vision, and the stale contentment of just having a life that seems normal when you are inviting us and welcoming us to dance with you. Father, we are yours to lead. May you find us to be a congregation a family, individuals who are sensitive and open, willing to learn and stumble if it need be, but learning how to move with you, walk at your pace, and follow your guidance. Father, how gracious you are to do this for us. Teach us how to do it well, not just so that we get the dance moves down, but Father, teach us so that Jesus Christ will be glorified and he'll be seen. We'll be known as a dancing congregation where the Spirit of God is alive and Jesus' name is heard. So thank you for this. We trust you, Father, in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. I'm pretty sure everybody's been to a wedding. At the reception, one of the very first things they do is they have the bride dance with the bridegroom. And I'm here to remind you of a few things, that if you have never danced with our bridegroom, Jesus, if you haven't got a personal relationship with him, there are people that are going to be standing up here to pray for you. You can come and talk to them if that's convenient for you. Or during the week, talk to somebody about this dance. It will change your life. And yes, you can cha-cha forever in the kingdom of heaven. Can you join me in a closing word of prayer today? Father God, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for your love to us. We thank you, Lord. We ask you to watch over us as we depart from this place today. To our places of business, to our schools, to our homes, to the community at large. May we bring your presence with us wherever we go today. May we dance in your spirit. Everything we do, with everything we've got and everything you've got for us, may we dance. And we know that that dance is beautiful to you, O Lord, which is the only thing that matters. So, Father, thank you for this day, this wonderful word that you've given us. We pray all these things in the beautiful name of Jesus. The wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our King. And all the saints at Nanaimo Alliance Church said, Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. And we'll see you back here next Sunday.